Folks, what I'm hoping for the next little while is that between now and the week after Easter, we are going to look through Luke. So we're jumping into Luke, apart from the Sunday after Christmas, where we're going to look at the wise men, and you only find them in Matthew. But the rest of the time, we're just going to work our whole way through the Gospel of Luke. So to take some time to look through Luke. So that's where we're going. But this morning, and as Chris has led us, and Karen has read for us from Zechariah's song. But before we get there, let's introduce ourselves to the man. So Zechariah, who was he? What was he about? We read of him here at the start of Luke. And we read Zechariah's service. What would be really useful, take the Pew Bible, please, and we're going to just work through the chapter and just let Scripture speak to us. So in Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through to 10, in the time of Herod, king of Judea, Luke puts it in history, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. But they had no children because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well along in years. It's just a human story. But let's just pick into it a wee moment. Their pedigree. Both Zechariah and Elizabeth were born of the priestly line of Aaron way back in Moses' day. They could trace their roots. If you ancestry.com, that's where it would have taken them. Right back to the priest Aaron, brother of Moses. Their pedigree as a family of faith, and as a family who served God's people in the temple, bringing sacrifices and serving the people in church, if you like, was unquestionable. They were from a pedigree family. Look at verse 6. They were both upright in the sight of God. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. There were people who sought to be holy and pure as best they could in their humanity. So there were people who wanted to please God and honor God in the way that they lived. Both of them were upright in the sight of God. But there was pain in their home. Elizabeth was barren. They couldn't have family. They couldn't have children. And in that culture, it was seen badly and sadly so as a great shame. So there was hurt and there was pain and there was regret. If you're a person of faith, would you not be living thinking, God, I'm doing all this work for you, and you won't even give me a youngster? And somehow they lived in that tension in their service for God, in Zechariah's service for God. There was this pain that was there. Stephen Cottrell, one of the books that I'd read, said of Elizabeth rather than Zechariah, "Mine was the shadow of a life. I perfected the contented smile that hid the rage and sadness." Oh, don't we do that in church? James Bay album from years ago had a song on it called "The Best Fake Smile." And here we can be Olympic competitors at that, can't we? We'll put on the best fake smile, but inside our hearts are broken. But somewhere in the middle of all this, their holiness and purity, their pedigree, their family line, but the pain at home, God's providence broke in, folks, on an ordinary, normal day for someone of the priestly line. It's quite astounding. So Zechariah, as a priest, twice a year, you had to go from your home to do your duty in church, if you like. So twice a year, you went up for a week or so. And there were 1,400 priests. So your duty in that week might have been something innocuous, or it might have been something more significant. And we read, in the providence of God, Zechariah was chosen by lot to go into the holy place and burn incense. My memory is that a scarlet thread is tied around your ankle because you're going into the holy place. And if you don't come out, well, at least we can pull your fried remains out. And I mean that reverently. This is holy stuff. Aaron, back in the day, Moses' day, don't even walk on the mountain of God or you'll be consumed. 1,400 people, and Zechariah is chosen by lot. Everyday mundane stuff, but here in their life and in their service, in Zechariah's service, heaven and earth collide. Because in his service, Zechariah goes into the holy place, and Zechariah gets a shock. Because there, the angel of the Lord, when Zechariah saw him, he was startled and gripped with fear. Where do you even begin? Let's unpack it quickly. Look at verse 11 and 19. Verse 11, we read, "Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right-hand side of the altar." Verse 19, "The angel answered, 'I am Gabriel. I am standing in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news.'" Gabriel is one of the senior angels. An angel of the Lord appeared to him. And we kind of read that glibly, don't we? "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God." Let's just stop there. Hold on a minute. I stand in the presence of God in heaven and in glory. "And I've been sent to speak to you." We're thinking, hang on a minute again. Who in the world? God in heaven knows about me. He has a message for me. What? And the message is going to be good news. So the messenger is sent. We read about Gabriel in the book of Daniel. He is one of the senior angels. Again, reverently, he's one of the big dogs. If he came into church this morning, well, we would be in shock. The messenger is sent, and the message, "Elizabeth will bear you a son." Karen and I were in the garden center yesterday in Bush Mills. There's a great little series of coasters with Northern Ireland sayings on them. There would be a coaster here that would say, "Catch yourself on. The age of me." The message is that Elizabeth will bear a son. Just allow me to turn to Malachi. The last few verses of the Old Testament. And the prophet, God says through the prophet Malachi, "See, I will send you the prophet Elijah before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, or else I will come and strike the land with a curse." There's going to be a new Elijah. What is the message that comes from Elizabeth, or to Zechariah from the angel Gabriel. Folks, there has been 400 years of silence since the book of Malachi. God has not spoken to his people for 400 years. And Gabriel is then sent to Zechariah, an old man who can't have any children, who is told, "You're going to have a son." And here in verse 17, the first part of the verse, he is told, "I will send you the prophet Elijah before you." The Lord comes. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight, we sing, O little town of Bethlehem. And that's, John is to be the forerunner of that line. He will be a joy and delight to you, Zechariah. He will be a pleasure. But look at the verses. That's verse 14. Verse 15, the first part. He will be great in the sight of the Lord. So your boy is going to be great in the sight of Yahweh, our God. He's going to be great in his sight. Oh, would almost pride not fill your heart if it wasn't fear and shock standing there in the holy place? And this, the Lord will pick up on that in a moment. He is never to take any fermented drink. What's that about? It's almost like the Nazarite vow that you will keep yourself pure in your service of God. So this boy born to you is going to be someone who lives a life of purity. And we read of John the Baptist in the wilderness, living a simple life. A life of purity. Third part of verse 15, it's just packed with stuff here, folks. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit from birth. He's going to be a child with the power of God resting in him. First part of verse 17, he will go on before the Lord. That's his purpose. His purpose is to go before the one who's promised and comes, the Lord. And in the spirit and power of Elijah. This is picking up the Malachi promise. The boy that's going to be born to you 400 years after Malachi spoke is going to be the new Elijah, who goes before the promised one of God, the Lord, the Messiah. That is the message given to Zechariah. Your boy is going to be the messenger, the one who runs before the promised one of God. Look at verses 16 and 17, please. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. The message is that you're going to have a son. The message is that your son is going to be the messenger who goes before the Messiah. He will go on before the Lord. Folks, this is mighty. But then, never mind 400 years of silence. There's now 9+ months of silence. Because Zechariah turns around and he says, "How can I be sure of this?" Catch yourself on. Us? Surely not. And where we're going to be next week, thinking about Mary, put that beside, "How will this be?" says Mary to Gabriel, "For I am a virgin." And then she says, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." And somehow Mary questions, doubts, fears, but responds with faith. And it would seem that Zechariah, "How can I be sure of this?" is said with a different spirit. Because Gabriel then says, well, you see it there on the screen, don't you? And now you will be silent, not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time. And for 9 months plus, he cannot say a word. Now, if it was any of us coming out from behind that curtain, you'd be busting. And the son, and calling him John, and all of this has gone on. But for 9 months, Zechariah cannot speak. And then, as we turn the page in scripture here, for we have the account of Gabriel and Mary, and the promise, and Mary and Elizabeth, her cousins, meeting up, and the baby jumping in the womb, because there's such a connection between these two boys. And John is born to Elizabeth, and they come to the naming ceremony 8 days after his birth, and they say, what are we going to call him? And Elizabeth says, we're going to call him John. And the family are horrified. There's no John in our family. How can we do that? And Zechariah takes a tablet and he scribbles, his name is John. For 9 months plus, has he just been considering, chewing over all the promises of God, all those pictures in the Old Testament and the Psalms and the prophets that are speaking about the Messiah? And then he just bursts into song. We don't have time to unpack it properly, but it's known as the Benedictus, the benediction. It's kind of, this is where it all comes together. Say, we don't have time just to step into it as Karen read, but as I read it, and my wee mind being what it is, picked up all the words that began with R. And it's amazing. Scan with me. Verse 68. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. This baby born is the one who comes to redeem us. The Messiah, the promised one of God. Verse 69, the one who raises us up. He has raised up salvation for us. It talks about the horn of salvation. The horn is a picture of strength. So he has raised us, raised up salvation for us. And again there, look, in the house of his servant David. The new king will come from the line of David. The Messiah will be born from the line of David. You will be the forerunner. But God who raises us up, he has remembered, verse 72, his holy covenant. Folks, he remembers you. He remembers me. And he has remembered the promise that he made way back. We were starting actually in Genesis. Right through the Old Testament, the promises of God's salvation and that a Redeemer will come. Verse 74, to rescue us from our enemies. Ultimate enemy is the evil one, Satan. But we come to be rescued. God remembers us. God rescues us. And I have verse 78, and it's a peculiar little verse, but it makes me think of God who responds to shine on those living in darkness, in the shadow of, that reminds me, that's Isaiah 9. Zechariah is known, he knows the prophets, and he's saying, the one that comes in our darkness to guide our feet in the path of peace. Sorry, verse 78, because of the tender mercy of God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. This just bursts out of Zechariah, that there is a God who redeems us, who raises us, who remembers us, who rescues us and responds to us. It makes me think way back of Moses at the burning bush. I have seen the misery of my people. I've heard them crying out because of their slave drivers. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of those who hold them in bondage. And in essence, that is Christ our Messiah. Preacher's question, so what? What does this mean to you and I this morning? Well, actually, if those words don't mean anything to us this morning, we've lost the plot. Because there's one who redeems us, who raises us, who remembers us, who rescues us, who responds to our needs, because he cares for us and loves us. But so what? Zechariah, in his service and his shock and his silence and the song that he explodes with, just step back. Zechariah, the name, means Yahweh remembers. So can I say to you this morning, whatever your needs and cares, and maybe you're of a pedigree family, but there's pain in your heart, Yahweh remembers. This is amazing. John means Yahweh has given grace. Folks, that's enough. God knows and God cares. So where we started this morning, wherever you are, like Zechariah, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. For he is the one who cares. He is the one who redeems, who raises, who remembers, who rescues, and who responds. And he is the same today as he was in Zechariah's day. He's the same for you. He's the same for me. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the Mighty King. He's the Counselor. He's the Everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace.